We are starting a new series called Neighboring. I love being a neighbor. I love having neighbors. My neighbor comes to this church, and he moved into the neighborhood before we moved in the neighborhood. And he told me, he goes, "Wow, one of my biggest dreams my whole life was that my pastor would live right across the street from me." Yeah. And I took that sincerely. Thank you, Michael Richards. I like that. So we're gonna talk through neighboring for the next 3 weeks, and then through our small groups. We have small groups that meet throughout the week. For the next 6 weeks, we're gonna be going through the Art of Neighboring series. But before we get into that, do you have a big dream, like a deep dream? Maybe for your family, maybe for your friends, maybe for your kids. And most of us, I would say, we have some sort of dreams, and maybe you wouldn't quantify yourself as, "Oh, I'm a big dreamer," but we all have, like, needs. We all have things that we dream about and saying, "What would it look like if?" But do you have a dream for your city? Do you have, like a dream for the town that you live in? And how you can tell if you have a dream for your city or the town or the neighborhood, the township, Twin Lakes Township, whatever that dream might be, you can tell by what like makes your heart go pitter-pat, pitter-pat. Like when you're coming back home from vacation or you're coming back from work and you see something in your neighborhood and it just makes you all happy inside. Like if you could take something in your neighborhood from a 5 and turn it up to an 8, what would it be? That's part of your dream. Or what would probably be most common is what just bothers you about the town you live in, right? Like what just gets you all riled up? Like what keeps you up at night when your head is spilling? You're like, "I can't stand that," right? That's kind of a weird way of looking. That kind of behind that, there must be some dream because something is missing, something's not being fulfilled. My grandma used to live on Selmser Street in Cloquet, and I'd bike to go see her because I was the best grandson of all time. And I would bike there, and when I was 14 in 1994, and my grandma, every time I was about to leave, she'd stop me and she'd say, "Chris, watch out for the gangs in Cloquet." I'm like looking around. I'm like, okay. And if you're listening on the podcast, Cloquet is a town of like 13,000 people. And I imagine there is gang activity somewhere around here, but in 1994, they weren't like, you know, walking up and down the streets. And my grandma would always say, "Chris, watch out for the gangs." And I didn't know if she was afraid because I had an afro and I was a weird kid. And so she thought I was going to like get beat up by these gangs. Like, "Hey, you with the face." Or because I thought I was pretty cool. All right. I was a big fan of myself and thought maybe they want me to be part of a gang. And grandma knew that and was having the end in mind for me. So what my grandma's dream for Cloquet was that there would be no gangs, right? She wanted a city that was safe for her grandson to bike around with his afro, right? So all of us have some sort of dream. And we don't always like go back to thinking, my dream has a purpose. Sometimes we just dream because it makes us feel good. You know why it makes you feel good? Because God might be inviting you to be a part of something bigger than right now. And things could be great, things could be amazing, but what if it just got like a little bit better? See, my dream, I love talking about my dream for Carlton County. What would it look like if Carlton County was engaged and loved one another? What if like in our communities, on our blocks, like the next 40 acres down the road, that we could actually share life with one another? That we were really engaged in the community, that we'd come together and celebrate not just because the basketball team is doing well, the hockey team or the volleyball team. I'm a big fan of celebrating sports, like high school sports. I go to ESCO sports because we live in ESCO now, and I will always go to the games if Janine, who is on our staff, because she is the queen of ESCO. She steps in the gym, and everyone just comes off the stands and just interrupts the basketball game, just shuts down the game. They all come up and be like, "Hi, Janine." So if I stand right next to her, it looks like I'm like getting some of that too. I'm like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And point and wink. All right? Like, I love celebrating, but what if the celebration went beyond just sports? What if the way that we're invested and noticed the people in our community went to like the culture and arts program? What if the way that we loved our teachers meant that every school in Carlton County, it was the place people were like busting down the door to get a job in there? Not just for the way of how much they got paid, but the way that the parents were engaged. And not just the parents of the kids currently in school, but the parents who had kids graduate through the program, where they looped back in and loved and cared for the whole staff and for the kids. What if Carlton County could have, like, we'd be known for having the best special ed department? And not just for, again, not just the parents of kids that have to go, who have the opportunity to go through that program, but the whole community is engaged to make sure every single kid had a flourishing, robust, thriving life. What if the way that we loved our small businesses, what if the way our owners, the way that they managed their staff, and they taught these teenagers in a summer job what it looks like to have an honest business transaction, how to work hard, how to be beautiful in the way that you did your work? What if the way that our hospitals and our nursing homes, that we had the absolute best care, not just from the doctors, but again, from the community? Here's my big dream. This is something I've been praying about recently. What if Carlton County, we got to eradicate loneliness? What if we honestly could get rid of loneliness? You might be thinking, well, how would you do that? Exactly. What's your dream? There's people in your neighborhoods who are incredibly lonely. There's people who are shut-ins. There's people for all different kinds of reasons walk around with loneliness. How do we move towards that? What if there's a place for a teenager who's going through that part where he's just like, Dad, you just don't know me anymore, right? What if there's a place for teenagers to go that wasn't just, I'm a huge fan of, like, programs for teenagers are great, but what if there was a place just right next door where they could come and be a hot mess and work it all out because someone was there to love them? You see, we programs are really good, but people will always trump programs. My dreams are on every single table in Carlton County, we can have life-giving conversations where we can invite and talk and experience and share a good and beautiful life. So how do we do that? You might be thinking, well, Chris, you know, it's like not 1955 or everyone's home by 5 and dinner's on the table. Like, we are busy. We are busy. And not just am I busy, my whole neighborhood's busy. Like, we're lucky if we can make eye contact in the cars as we drive by in our Priuses. Like, hey, how you doing, right? And also, my neighbors don't want to know me. And how do I know that? Because I don't want to know them, right? You could be the neighbor that has, like, I had an old water heater. We live really close to Esco School. We had an old water heater, and we put a wreath on it right in front of our garage. And I'm not very observant of things. And it wasn't until about 4 months later that I actually walked out to my garage. I'm like, oh, old rusty water heater with an old tri-tail wreath is sitting in front of my garage that people drive by all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm that neighbor. I'm that one, right? No wonder people aren't walking up, hey, you're new in town. So, you know, that's like the most common fear of getting out to meet our neighbors in our neighborhood is time and fear. So what are we supposed to do? Like, how can we actually begin to move towards that dream? There's these two guys, Jay and Dave, and they live in Arvada, which is a suburb of Denver. And they had this discussion, like, we really love the city of Denver. They really love Arvada. And so they met with the mayor. And they met with the mayor saying, hey, what are the needs that you might have? How can we really make a difference? And the mayor went through a whole list of things from alcoholism to domestic violence to kids not having, like, opportunities to really succeed or even just be safe or even, like what about food? Like, all the same things we have in Carlton County or in your county, wherever you live, that would be the needs. Loneliness, right? Like, having healthy families, opportunities for young professionals to thrive in their career. They're like, these are these problems. And he got up, and this is what he said. I want to make sure I read it. He said, the majority of issues that our community is facing would be eliminated or drastically reduced if we could just figure out a way to become a community of great neighbors. The solutions lie with us. It's within our power to become good neighbors, to care for the people around us, and to be cared for by the people around us. So how do you cure loneliness? Like, you just don't smile all the time. How do you, like, cure and bring down domestic violence? It's not just by, you know, like, saying, are you guys okay in there? Really? How do we make sure that every single kid gets fed? Every single family has a chance to eat, like, some good meals with good food? It's not just programs. It's not just throwing money at something. It's through us. It's through you. It's through me. It's us actually being good neighbors. But here's where we get stuck. With all these opportunities, all these different needs that are in a community, we get caught up in, like, we might dream of, I want something better, but we get caught up in the someone else complex, right? We think, oh, it'd be a great idea if the school board would begin to address this issue. It would be so great if we could have, like, safer streets, if only the police chief would do something about it. I would love if we had more playing time for all, had better basketball program, or we had better arts program, or we had more resources available to these people in the community, and we think, well, why doesn't the mayor get on it? What about, like, our senators and our congresswomen? What about them? We always want someone else to do something about it. What if that dream that you have, what if this crazy idea that God might be actually inviting you to activate it? Because what kind of life you want, what kind of community you want, you get to dictate that. See, your home is just not a place to escape to. It's not just a place where you're like, finally, I'm away from work, and you have this whole life at work where you play this game or whatever it might be, and you come home and you just like, ugh, you sit down, right? And you just relax. And that is good. I'm not saying don't relax. But for me, I could pull into my garage, I can wave at Michael Richards across the street, right? And he's really excited because his pastor lives across the street. And I could pull into my garage and shut the door, and no one will see me except my family. Because I have an attached garage, I can walk right in, and I could spend every weeknight and every weekend just in my space. I might say, I want some beautiful neighbors, I want like a thriving community, but if I'm not willing to be in the community, I'm waiting for someone else to do it. God's going to use your story. God's going to use your dreams. And really, it's not just like, because great communities are awesome. That's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. But it's also a way you can get in on the best life possible. What we call a good and beautiful life. See, Jesus talks about this often. He gets approached by this expert in the law. And he's trying to go into the ring with Jesus, trying to say, like, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I know what's happening. I'm hip with it and wow. So he walks up to Jesus. He says, Jesus, what do I have to do to have eternal life? Now, remember, the context of this, eternal life just wasn't when I die, then I get something great. Eternal life to them was, I want in on the best life possible now and later. I want to have a thriving life, a flourishing life. So it's important. The way that Jesus answers this question is based off that. How do I have a good and beautiful life? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? And the guy knew the law, and he says, you got to love God with absolutely every single thing that you have. Every ounce of energy just goes towards worshiping God, loving God, putting him first. And then right off that, just right off it, he says, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yeah, you nailed it. High five, top shelf, right? That's what he says. But then the guy has this idea of like, okay, this is going pretty good. And he wants to find this loophole. He wants to find a way where he can draw lines in the sand of who's his neighbor, of who gets his best. And Jesus sees it. And he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan is a story of this guy walking down and he gets mugged by these two thieves and he gets beaten and gets left for dead. And someone who comes by and looks just like him, or probably knew his family, we're probably in the same kind of like social circle, sees him and goes, ooh, that is a mess, and he keeps going. And another person like himself looks at that guy and says, I am a busy person. I have things to do. I'm a big, important guy, and he keeps on walking. And finally, this Samaritan, he shows up, and he notices some guy laying naked in, like on the side of the street. Now, the important thing to remember here that Jesus isn't just throwing around these words just by accident, like, oh, yeah, you know, Billy from Renshaw and Sue from Floodwood, right? He's using this on purpose because Samaritans were absolutely, like, just the lowest ring of society. Basically, that guy across the street, the Samaritan probably looked at the guy and said, oh, I remember when you used that racial slur against my sister. Oh, I remember every like act of violence that I've encountered in my life has actually come from people like you. The way that I'm held under oppression, the way that I can't find a good job, the way I can't have good health care is because the people who had the power use it against people like me. Samaritan has no reason to just get off and help this guy. But again, remember what Jesus answered the question, how do I get on a good and beautiful life? Love God, love people. Well, who's my neighbor, Jesus? This guy, your enemy. The one who probably spit in your kid's face. The one who tried putting his boot on your throat. Will you love like this? What does the Samaritan do? He doesn't just like throw a couple bucks at him and say, all right, are you doing okay down there? Don't you go dying on me, right? What does he do? He hops off and he meets his physical needs. He gets him clothes, his material needs, his emotional needs, like his life needs, or he saves his life. And he brings him to a place of where he can rest, where he can heal. And he pays the bill. And one of the most important things that we miss out on in this story is that he loops back in. He says, and I'm going to come back in a little bit. I'm going to come back and make sure that all his needs are taken care of. So Jesus is telling us, how do we get in on a good and beautiful life? First one is this, is that we have to love our neighbor. And how do you love your neighbor? You notice them. And big picture, right? I don't want to miss this. Our neighbors are the people who live like in our like right around us. That is absolutely true. But our neighbors, what Jesus is saying, is who's in your everyday path? Who's in your rhythm? We all have a rhythm. You go to work and you see maybe the same 10 people, but you also do see the people as you're driving by. You see the people as you're walking, getting lunch. Do you notice the people around? Jesus is trying to get us. Your neighbor is someone that just doesn't live next door. There are people all over who are your neighbors, and are you willing to see them? But the guy, what he's trying to do by saying, well, who is technically my neighbor? Because it's a question that we might not verbalize, but it's something that we like will kind of feel. Because we're supposed to give our best. We're supposed to love and be generous. You know who we love giving our love to? People like us. Because it's easy. It is a good return on my investment. If I can find someone who, like, we went to school together, we went to college together, and we already had all those awkward moments together, right? And we can laugh the same jokes, and we might have the same color skin, and we might make similar amounts of money, and our kids go to the same school, and we actually drive the same cars, and, you know, we may even have the same investment banker, whatever it might be. We have these, like, little circles, and the circles aren't bad. They're not bad. But Jesus is saying, instead of just us four no more, what if you opened it up and that circle got a lot bigger? And we pause at that because it's easy for me and like my group of friends to share life and laugh and do it because it doesn't cost me as much. It's not awkward. I'm not going to have to like, as they're saying something like, this is really weird. Why am I sweating right now, right? Like, why do I feel all this tension? With my friends, I don't feel that so much. What am I going to say next? It costs you something more to walk up to a stranger. It costs you something to walk across to your neighbor's house and knock on the door to introduce yourself. It gets messy when you're at work and someone says a racial slur. And you're like, do I say something? I don't really, is he even my friend? I don't know. I'll just let it be. It costs you something. And that's what Jesus is saying, that we don't just give our best to the people where our investment comes back full return. He's saying, will you give the investment of the best of yourself just to someone else for their sake, for their best? That's what it looks like to love people. And the Samaritan did not wait for that guy to come over to him. He noticed the need, and he moved towards the need. And he wasn't just the save-the-day kind of guy. He was invested. He shared life. He deeply cared. He wanted to take the time, the money, and the energy to see this guy move on and get healthy. That's what neighbors do. So, like, don't want to miss out. Your neighbors are everywhere. But what if we, instead of, I heard someone say this, like, we have this idea of, especially millennials, if you're in the place, right? Like, we're just like, dude, we just love everybody. Come on. Thanks for laughing, Dad. All right. So, right? We do. We're just like, we just love everyone. I'm just going to love all people in the world I'm going to love. And that is, believe in your dreams. That is a great idea. Seriously, that is a good thing. That's a good mantra. Love everyone all the time. All right, that's good. Keep that up. But when you have, that's just a metaphorical love. Right? That's a nameless, faceless person that we're loving out there. And we're walking around and there's people all around us who have these needs and they're coughing. And we're like, I'm just gonna love everybody, right? And everywhere you go, there's real needs. Because if it's just a metaphorical love, then you're gonna have metaphorical love of your neighbors. It's always just gonna live in your head. And that dream that you have for your city, the dream you have for your neighborhood, like the feet never hit the ground. Like, what if we, before we go and love the whole world, what if we started by just loving our block? What if it like actually meant like loving the person across the street or behind me or my neighbor's neighbor? Because if I can't really love the people around me and if I'm not willing to love like the Good Samaritan, to notice the need, gravitate towards the need, and actually engage in the need and get messy in the need, how am I ever going to do that in another town or in Syria? Another place of the world. See where I'm going? Good neighbors can change the world. Good communities can transform everything. So for the next, after this week, next 2 weeks, we're going to talk, the first one is my wife, Nikki, is going to make her preaching debut talking about time because it costs us something. We're all busy thinking about meeting your neighbors and introducing yourself to the extroverts in the room. You're like, yeah, another party. That's good. That's people like me. The introverts in the room are all trying to sink in their chair just a little bit lower, right? I don't want to meet anyone. And then the other people are like thinking about meeting neighbors. You're like, oh, I could probably do that in between travel dance team, travel volleyball, travel basketball, and travel. All right. So I could squeeze them in somewhere. Like, we're all busy. We're all busy. And then also, Jordan Sundberg is going to be speaking 2 weeks on fear. We all have a deep fear of what if they don't like me, right? We go back to junior high. You want to be my friend? No, you smell weird. Okay. Yeah, I heard that all the time. HLI students, I heard that all the time, right? So I'm the byproduct of that. So tell everyone, you smell pretty. That wasn't in my notes. So talk about you smelling. Okay, so talking about fear, and those are legitimate obstacles to get through. So what I like to talk about then is, where do we start? If we can actually begin to love our neighbors, where do you start? And you start here. You have to be self-aware. You have to be friends with reality that a majority of the people in your neighborhood are strangers to you. How do you know you're a stranger to someone? If I said, "Hey, who lives over there?" and you're like, "I don't know," that would be called a stranger, right? But you might feel like, well, they're nice strangers. Why? Because I can wave at them. That means you have waving strangers, right? How do you go from stranger to acquaintance? And how do you go from an acquaintance to having like a real good relationship? Because what I'm saying, like go out and meet your neighbors, actually share life with one another, be invested. I'm not asking you to come in and kick the door down and say, "I guess we're best friends now." Don't go looking in the windows and saying, "Are you home? Hey, friend." I'm not asking you to like hold up like a boombox, like say anything and say, "You're my neighbor," right? Like you're trying to woo them. No, don't do that. Don't be that neighbor. If you are that neighbor, like looking through windows, like best friend, don't, just stop. Take life advice from me. Not that I've never done that. just say. So where do you start? This is where you start. You get to know their names. How you go from stranger to acquaintance is you learn their names. And we kind of bypass that. We think we have to do some great act. We have to like go save the day, like intentionally like let their dog off the leash so you can go find them and bring them back and say, "Look, I found your dog," right? No, you just learn their names. So we're going to do a little exercise. And in your program, there was a little, sheet of paper, right? Technical term, piece of paper. I want you to pull that out. We're going to do a little exercise together. And we do have some pens in the back that Janine's going to be handing out if you'd like some. We're going to take 1 minute. And what I want you to do is fill out your houses in the middle. And regardless if it's you live in the country and like a mile down the road is the next house, that would be like your neighbor. If you live in a neighborhood, you live in an apartment building, you live in a dorm, whatever it might be, to the best of your ability, fill it out. We're gonna put some music on, and then I'll share my story about this exercise. All right, so I just did this on Friday, and we moved into our neighborhood. You see, I'm already making excuses, but We moved in, my wife is somewhere, I think August. Oh, she's right there. We've been there long enough, and this is the best I could come up with, right? And one of them just says Melanie, because I don't even know if that's her real name, all right? And Melanie, if that is your real name and you're hearing this, I'm a big fan of you. So, and I know they have dogs. And then we have Richards and Trace. We have Kurt, and then I know Leslie and Ben and Allison and Elliot because my kids play with them. But everyone else, look at all those blank spots. I knew where I lived. See right there with Esco Sodders, right? That's the extent. And I live in a neighborhood. There's houses all around me. And I gave it my the college try. So who here you could name five or more neighbors? Raise your hand. Way to go. So that's like 4% of this room, okay? So everyone else. Now, you can hear this, and some of you are going to go to the guilt and shame. Oh, I'm such a horrible neighbor. Oh, man, I can't believe I don't know them. Like I'm going to encourage you, don't live there, but think about it as an opportunity. How do you meet your neighbors? How do you learn their names? You just be outside. You might be walking up with a boombox. Here's a little tip for you. If you want to learn their names, someone shared this with me. Be on your front porch instead of your back porch. Hang out and play in your front driveway, in your front yard. Because when people are walking by, you can actually stop and say, "Hey, I haven't met you before. We just moved in like a year and a half ago." So, and I've met more people that way. Another resource, I was just talking to Janine just right here, is like if you have kids, like my son Cole, he knew everybody. We did this several years ago at the Duluth Vineyard, and we did it as a whole church as well, and Nikki and I moved into the neighborhood, and we put this right on our fridge, and we only knew one. It was Corey, this only neighbor we knew. And we're like, "Oh man, I wish we knew more." And Cole came and he's like, "Oh yeah, you know, Billy and Sue live here, and Jim, John, James lives here." And Cole just like activated this whole, he just knew everybody. And soon Cole would be on our front step. I know Jackson used to do this as well. He'd be outside of our house and people would walk by. He's like, "Hey, what's your name? You want to come in, grab some lunch?" He was like our little like extrovert party. And what happened is we began to know people's names. Instead of it being the awkward conversation of like, "Hey, you there, right? You with the face." Like, you're not going to engage in anything kind of personal conversation. You're not going to, like, share life. You're not going to ask them, "Hey, how are you doing in your marriage?" if you don't know their name, because you're going to keep it all at service. Like, "It's snowing out again." "Yes, it is." Right? If you don't know their name, it's harder to go to that next level of relationship. And let me tell you a story. After this series, it motivated Nikki and I to actually get to know our neighbors. And pretty soon, after a while, we wrote their names. Right before I'd step outside, I'm like, "Oh, Billy is our neighbor." Okay, to walk out, and I'd see Billy. I'm like, "Hey, Billy, how are you doing?" She's like, "Chris, thank you for asking." And slowly, after months and after years, we lived there for 7-8 years. It moved from just like wave high, move their garbage can because I want to be a good neighbor, to learning their names, to learning their kids' names, where it turned into we had Annie. Annie was a neighbor's dog. We just all of a sudden run through her house. We're like, "How did Annie get in here?" And Henry would be looking through our screen door. He's like, "Hey, you got any food?" Right? And we started having bonfires with them. And we started sharing meals with our neighbors. And we became friends with our neighbors. And we moved in. If they said, "Hey, who are some of your really good friends?" At that time, I wouldn't have said my neighbors. Not at all. And when we moved out of Chester Creek and Duluth, it was hard for us. And one of my favorite stories was we're having like this party, this meal, and I heard through some of the other neighbors, one of our neighbors was going through something incredibly, incredibly hard, potentially like legal troubles. And so we're there, and people just moved away, and I just said, "Hey, Billy, like, what's going on? Is it true that this really happened?" And he looked at me, and he started to cry. He's like, "I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe this happened. This has been a problem for me for all these years. I just keep pretending it's not a problem." And we had, like, not planned, had this heart-to-heart me looking, saying, "You're a better dude than that. You're a way better father. You're a way better husband. You're a way better guy than that." And I got to pray for him in my backyard around a fire. That's the kind of community I want to be in, where we can share life and offer hope and beauty. But unless we're willing to like know their names, we got to start somewhere. So take that block map. I encourage you to throw it like on your fridge, look at it. And if you don't know neighbors, make a goal and say, I'm going to try meeting my neighbor through July. So the next step, and this is where I end. The next step, we're going to talk about this for the next couple weeks, is how do you go from a stranger to acquaintances by learning a name, how you go from acquaintances to having actual friends or relationships is you like share life. And one of the things that we're encouraging you to do is to throw a block party. Throw a block party. When I say block party, Bree might think, I have to cook this big fancy gourmet meal and put on my fanciest dress and walk around, all right? That might be your interpretation of a block party. It might be just having a bonfire and doing s'mores. It might be just coming over and enjoying your favorite beverage and throw bago. It might be watching the Twins game. It might be actually having a meal. We're encouraging our community, Cloquet Vineyard, anyone who's listening to the podcast as well, throw a block party. We made invitations for you to make it really easy, and all you have to do is just fill in the information on the back, walk around to your neighbors, and say, hey, on May 25th, we're going to have a barbecue. Like the Esco Sodders, we're doing that. We call ourselves the Esco Sodders, but I'm not going to explain. So anyways, it's really complicated. We're Sodders who live in Esco, but... We're gonna throw a party for our neighborhood, and we're gonna make a pork butt is what we call it, because we're making Esco classy, all right? Pork butt. We're gonna have slow roasted pork tacos, and we're gonna have we're gonna try thinking ahead of their favorite beverage, make it available to them, and have a little bouncy castle where the kids can jump, and just have a party atmosphere where our neighbors can come together and maybe relearn each other's names. And share a story, share a laugh, hear how they met, hear that funny story when they were in junior high, high five. Really just begin having the end in mind, if I want to have a great, great neighborhood. I want to have a great school. I want to have a dynamic county. I have dreams. And where it starts is by getting to know their names and sharing life. So we have a ton of these. We have packs of them all out in back tables, some up in Vineyard Kids, where if you want to grab them and you can start just like praying, God, how do you want me to invite my neighbors? And our goal is through May and through June that you throw a block party. And we'd love to hear the stories of how it went. And hopefully we're laughing instead of crying. That's kind of the goal. So this is where I end. This is really where I end. In the beginning, I told you how Jay and Dave went to the city, the mayor, and heard his vision of we can eradicate all these problems just by being good neighbors. After they did, a whole group of churches in the community did this. After it, they got an email from one of the assistant city managers whose job was if anyone had requests of services that they could provide a neighborhood, they would go through this person. And he sent Jay and Dave an email, and it said, hey, I just want to let you know, as long as I've worked in the city of Arvada, this is the first winter ever we did not get one request for someone to shovel their walkway or their sidewalk. All winter long in Colorado, not one person requested services for shoveling. Why? Neighbors. Neighbors were willing to look up from their everyday rhythm, to look up and notice, and saw, hey, you know, Sarah, I don't know, she just had knee surgery. I don't know if she's going to be able to shovel that. I'll just go and take care of it. What you do matters, Vineyard. What you do matters. What is that deep, deep dream that engages your heart that you love? Let's move towards it. Let's stand up. Let's pray. I want to just say something on this. The reason that we do this, of getting to know our neighbors, this is not like some 3-point plan of how to get more people into our church. It's really not. Sometimes as Christians or as followers of Jesus, we can hear these things and it's just like this bait and switch scheme. Like, hey, come to a party and then I'm going to invite you to church and you're going to come, right? That's not who we are. Jesus doesn't say, hey, love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as you love yourself so they can get to your church and serve in Vineyard Kids. The end goal, that's why we say love God, love people, period, because that's who we are. We have no expectation. We have no hidden agenda. Our job is just to lay down our life in love, to be generous. And no matter what happens, no matter what the result is, it's that we're going to love, period. And when you can do that, that's the good and beautiful life. Now, I'm a big fan of this church, big fan of Cloquet Vineyard. And it might be that they're looking for a place to connect and to worship and to grow. I'd love that, but that's not the goal. The goal is to love our neighbors. So here's what I'd like to pray for. There's people here, and you maybe you're the ones that you knew five or more of your neighbors. Like, imagine that there's like this fire, right? And it's something beautiful and it's love. And what I feel like God was inviting us into, and Nikki and I actually talked about this, like, I want God to like put gasoline on that fire, to let it burn even brighter. The way that you love, the way that you engage, the way that you laugh, the way that you celebrate in your neighborhood can go from like a 7 up to a 10. So I'm gonna, if that's you, as I pray, just receive that God would even extend your vision. God would even extend your heart. And then there's those of you here where this is like something you'd love to do, but you are crippled by fear. You don't know where to start. You're like, I don't want to be the weird guy walking up to my neighbor and saying, hey, I'm Bill. We've already met 5 times. I don't remember their name. So it's already done. Right? Like, God can give you courage. It's worth it. And one awkward conversation. On Facebook, I put down, how do you love your community? And Jordan put down, an awkward introduction can lead to friends. It's worth it. And here's the last one. If you're here and you feel burnt by your neighbors, maybe when you're growing up or maybe even currently where you live, you just feel abandoned by your neighbors. And you're thinking, why should I go to them if they're not even willing to come to me? God can bring hope and he can bring healing if you'd like it. It starts by asking and receiving. So if that's you, as I pray, however you connect with Jesus, I would just encourage you just to receive something good from him today. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And God, I thank you for that you placed us in the neighborhoods where we are, that we get to be around tables and places where you're doing incredibly beautiful things. And I ask God you would just use us even more. Will you help just put like gasoline on that fire to just burn even more so people can experience the warmth, they can experience the light, they can experience the life that the kingdom of God brings. And for those of us who feel trapped by fear or awkwardness, or really, honestly, like you should remember their names and all that shame and guilt comes, we just say no. And God, will you give us that vision for that city, vision for Esco and Carlton and Cloquet and Renshaw, Moose Lake and Barnum and Holyoke and Floodwood, like all around, God, you'd help us be able to dream and be willing to go pursue that dream. And lastly, I pray for my friends who have been burnt by neighborhoods. Maybe burnt, you're bullied in school and you felt it should be a safe place in your community and you feel like you're robbed from it. You felt neglected by your neighborhood. And right now, you're walking with loneliness. Holy Spirit, come. Come and break off the loneliness, Jesus. That there are people in this room, people listening to this podcast, they are loved by you. It's who you are. You're a good father. Bring healing. God, use us to bring life to every table in Carlton County. We love you. Amen. So we're going to worship for a little bit longer. We have our ministry team. They're going to make their way up. These are people who are willing to pray with you, encourage you. And if you need one of the things I talked about, you just feel like that was true for you, come up and receive some prayer. And if you're willing to come have lunch with us at Gordy's, in about 5 minutes, we're going to meet just out in the back at the Welcome Center, and we'd love to take you out for lunch. Have a great rest of the Snonami weekend, and we'll see you next week.